This is the IBJ Podcast for the week of September 10th, 2018. I'm Mason King. Where tens of thousands of motorists every day saw just another scrubby little hill along an interstate, Tom Batista saw a park, a place for reflection or respectful debate, to the soundtrack of hundreds of wheels on pavement. Maybe more importantly, a place that could connect residents of foundational Indianapolis neighborhoods separated 50 years earlier by interstate construction. You probably know Batista best as co-founder of Bluebeard and Fletcher Place, one of the key restaurants in reforming Indianapolis's culinary reputation. He also has a separate and pretty legendary career in concert production, working on tours for artists such as Jimmy Buffett, David Bowie, and Parliament Funkadelic. The idea for the little park got stuck in Batista's mind like a pop music earworm. To make it happen, he learned he would have to work through the city, the state, and the federal government, while many folks just told him he was nuts to even try. But after 5 years of negotiating and planning, we have the IDLE, and that's I-D-L-E, IDLE, which opened earlier this month. The access point is on the Virginia Street Bridge between Fletcher Place and Fountain Square. Batista and I hooked ourselves up to some portable microphones for a walk-and-talk tour of the site.
Okay, so anyway, it's Thursday. It's September the 6th. It's about 10:15 a.m. It's getting kind of overcast. It's kind of an overcast
Thank
day.
Goodness.
Yeah.
It's been in the 90s all week.
Humidity's about 500%.
Yes.
Par for the course. So we are standing pretty much at the middle of like a very long overpass over Interstate 65 and 70.
Yeah, between Fletcher Place and Fountain Square.
Right, Fountain Square, both.
So there's a quarter mile no man's land that was all the interstate.
And then we are going to go through what used to be a solid guardrail. And we're going to go down to this green no man's land in between two four-lane highways where there is a park.
Yes.
Called the IDLE.
And the IDLE, a point of view.
Oh, is that the whole name?
So yeah, you can do it both ways. It's a point where we're looking out at a view, and you can have a point of view and argue with your neighbor about anything.
Oh, it's a double entendre. Okay.
Yes, it is.
That's a very good idea. Okay, so we're gonna walk, take a step through what used to be a guardrail.
Yes,
and
now,
the very first thing we see is what?
We see a quote from a John Lennon song called "Sitting Here Watching the Wheels Go Round and Round." So, and then when you enter the space, so we had to put this concrete pad here because the cultural trail didn't want gravel to spill out onto the trail, and we understand that. So we put this pad here and decided to put this quote in there. So the first thing you see are a bunch of logs that came from trees that were damaged and cut down by Midtown Trees. And then I bought them all so that we could use them as signage for the neighborhoods that were here and were affected by the interstate when it came through in the late 60s, early 70s. So we have North Square, Bates Hendricks, Fountain Square, Fletcher Place, and Holy Rosary. And all those neighborhoods were cut through. Brian Payne, the guy who started the cultural trail, told me that there were 1,700 families displaced by the interstate when it came through here.
Do we know what was here?
Well, yeah, we do know.
At this very spot?
One thing that was here was the IFD engine number 3, their firehouse. It was built in 1856, so it was the third firehouse in the city.
Wow.
And so we have one log that signifies that, and it has their little bug there, and it says, you know, 1856.
So now we get on to what looks like gravel.
Yeah, we originally wanted to have just a little 3-foot wide trail that went through the forest, and it was going to be hidden, but we were worried about security and safety and stuff, so we put up a sign saying danger, enter at your own risk, just so that people would pay attention and, you know, not get in any trouble.
And when we say forest, I mean there are
trees planted 10 years ago by KIB.
Okay, Keep Indianapolis Beautiful.
Indianapolis Beautiful, and they planted all these trees that are indigenous to Indiana. These are all trees that you would find naturally here in a forest.
Yeah, and these are all still like 12, 15 foot trees.
And they're growing. Yeah, they've only been here 10 years, so it takes them a while to get mature. So
I'm not good with my trees.
I'm not that good either. But this looks a pin oak. Yeah, yeah, there's an oak, or that might be a black oak. I just really don't know. I know that they had me take out trees that had grown up from bird droppings that aren't indigenous.
Oh,
like there were some Bradford pears that had fallen in here.
Sure. So we keep going.
And then we come to another sign.
A sign that says what?
Even more danger.
Okay, that seems kind of tongue-in-cheek.
It is tongue-in-cheek. Okay. And it was just to make fun of the other sign, but they made me put it there, so I put it there and then was able to do that.
So we get out to the big vista now.
Yeah, so there's a brow of a hill.
Right.
And so we're sitting up at the grade of the street, which is Virginia Avenue,
watching
all the vehicles where they're merging. So it's 65 and 70, north, south, east, and west. Signs here say, you know, Louisville, St. Louis, and on the other side, they would say probably Dayton and I don't know where else.
So right in front of us, there are three rows of orange stadium-style seats.
From Busch Stadium.
From the old Busch Stadium.
Yeah, the old our Indianapolis minor league ballpark.
Right.
Done by PUP, People for Urban Progress.
Right. Six in each row. And then there is a, I want to say tarp, but I'm sure there's a better way to say
it. It's a shade screen, but it's kind of came out a lot smaller than I expected, and I put it up higher because they were worried that someone would grab onto it and rip it down.
All right, well, let's sit down in the front row. All right. Wow.
When we first started talking about it, the Federal Highway Administration and NDOT, Indiana Department of Transportation in Greenfield, they were all worried about safety, and they said, no, we've never done it, we'll never do it. They won't let it happen because they were afraid it would be dangerous for people, for a car coming off the interstate and hitting it. But we're, you know, 20 or 30 feet above the interstate traffic. Mm-hmm. And so we have this big hill. They would have to go off the interstate and travel up a height of 20 feet over, you know, 50 or 60 yards. It's just not going to happen. So there's actually a nice promontory, a view of all of these merges and bridges going over and crisscrossing traffic. And while we're sitting there, you'll probably hear some horns honk when people start drifting. A big truck might honk at them or whatever. Right. It's really kind of interesting.
So one of the things that I was curious about when I got out here was, how's it going to smell?
Well,
it just smells like a regular Indiana day.
It does. It does. The smell's not much. What most people are worried about is the sound.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, if you walk over the bridges, when you're walking over the bridges, it's really loud because they're reflecting off the bridge walls and things. Yeah. So it's really loud. And then when you get out here, it's like white noise. Or you could be, if you close your eyes, you could actually be at the beach and a storm rolling in, and it's just the loud thing of a storm. So, and you can actually talk out here. I mean, I'm not yelling, but and we can talk.
It is louder than I thought it would be for some reason. I don't know what.
I think it's quieter than I thought it would be. So if you stand out of the bridge when you're walking across those bridges, you'll hear how loud they are.
Well, one of the things that I've always loved about this idea is that it is so counterintuitive. And that when you go to a park, you're supposed to want to get away from
being
all of this.
Right.
You're not supposed to want to see a highway and trucks and semis and hear this noise. So how did this occur to you, and why did you think that people would be interested?
Well, I knew that people would be interested. After I came up with this plan and started trying to pitch it, I was in New York and walked along the High Line. And there's a place at 10th Avenue where they built a viewing stand over the 10th Avenue. And so you can see all these people
sitting.
It's a large elevated, it's an elevated park all the way around through a city. And so that's not in the middle of the woods. That's not Central Park. It's right in the middle of the city with everything going on. And so that reinforced the idea that people would actually sit here and watch the traffic, to me.
Okay.
Yeah, this isn't a nature park.
No.
This is a green space in the middle of an urban environment that wasn't used, that actually is a unifying thing between all these neighbors that were divided by the interstate. In order for me to sell the project to the high, it took 6 years. But in order for me not to build, it only took 2 months to build it. It took 6 years to get the permission. One of the things that I said to the FHA people was that if they had put the interstate through 20 years earlier, I wouldn't even be here, because on one side is is the Holy Rosary Italian parish, and on the other side is the St. Patrick's Irish parish. My mother being Irish and my father being Italian, they may have never met if this interstate had come through here. And so that kind of got those highway people thinking that, you know, they really did divide neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And of course, they went through mainly working class neighborhoods.
And these were built, 65 and 70, through downtown in the late 60s or so? Was that right?
Well, they started in the late 60s and early 70s.
So real quick, what was the genesis of the idea? How did you even come to
this? Well, walking from Bluebeard to our bank in Fountain Square, there's a branch bank there that we use. I would walk across the bridges and just think, God, these are so loud and it's such a long walk through here, and then see this green space with all these trees on it. And it just seemed to me like it could be a nice little quiet secret place. So I climbed over the guardrail, and lo and behold, there was a path already that people had made out to this hill.
Yeah.
It seemed like a really great space that could easily be reused for the community rather than be a no man's land.
Mm-hmm. And so in order to make this happen, you ended up having to deal with not one, not two, but three levels of government.
Yes.
So who were that?
Well, they were the Federal Highway Administration in Washington, D.C. But the people that actually take care of this is the Indiana Department of Transportation, the Greenfield District in Greenfield, Indiana. And then, of course, the Indianapolis Department of Public Works. So there's three government agencies that oversee this.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the first meeting I had, I just had the Greenfield District people, the Cultural Trail people, the Keep Indianapolis Beautiful people, and some neighborhood people at a meeting. And, you know, and I pitched the idea to them. I got them all to come. I feel really fortunate because I work for Jimmy Buffett, and so these people all know it. They'll take my phone or answer my phone calls. So I was able to set up a meeting with these people, even though I have no, you know, no political aspirations, you know, no political things,
but I was able
to get all these people together.
You've got to back that up for a second, because people just thought you said Jimmy Buffett.
I did. Okay. So I've worked for Jimmy Buffett for 26 years now.
Right.
I'm his stage manager.
And that's fins to the left, fins to the right, Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, and Jimmy has helped me do several projects. We did the... There was an art project on Mass Avenue where we put temporary sculptures up all up and down the avenue. This is, you know, 15 years ago before the avenue is really cool now, and you don't have to worry about that. But so he gave us money to put these pedestals in, and we did a rotating art program. He also supported this project and gave us money for this project also, as did 180 other people. And, you know, we raised over $90,000 to do this project.
Mm-hmm. Is $90,000 the total amount?
Well, we said that we needed $82,000. We did a budget and came up with $82,000. We found Patronicity, which is through the IHCDA, Indiana Housing
Development?
Community Development Corporation.
Yeah, right.
And so they had a program where you could raise money for cool projects, and they would match whatever you would raise. So we needed 82, so we said we'll shoot for 41, and we ended up getting, you know, we got a match. We reached our goal.
Okay.
We got the match. We had 82, but people kept giving money, so we ended up over $90,000.
Okay, so total project cost was 90, but you got a grant for 42.
Yes.
Okay. So let me back up to the to the different government entities. So what did you need to get from the FHA, Federal Highway Administration?
We had to get their permission, because NDOT and Greenfield said, oh, it's not us, it's the Federal Highway Administration, will never let this happen.
Yeah.
So my first meeting with them, they said, no way, we'll never do it, and they left. Then I couldn't seem to get any traction, and someone suggested that I get political, so I called Andre Carson's office,
mm-hmm.
and they were able to set up a meeting when two people from the FHA were coming to Indianapolis for a meeting anyway. So as an aside, they gave me a 45-minute meeting down at the state office building. So we do this meeting, and finally, there was one guy that came into the meeting who we had never met before, didn't know who he was, and he listened, you know, on the side. He didn't ask any questions or anything, and a week later, he sent me a text asking me to come up with a a plan to explain the neighborhood to people that don't live here.
Oh, okay.
So then I went and put together this thing and was helped by a lot of people doing it. You know, Danny Axler, a photographer, took pictures, and other people, you know, a lot of people helped do this project. And so we put together a package and sent it to him and the people in D.C. And then finally the ice broke and they said, you know, this looks like a doable thing, that they'll let us do it. And so that's kind of how it happened.
Okay, and then the state then said, okie dokie.
Yeah, well, they were hobbled by the federal highway. They're the actual owners of the interstate. It's run and controlled by NDOT, and then also the city, because this part is in the city. So the agreement is from the Federal Highway Administration and NDOT and the Indianapolis Department of Public Works. As soon as they gave me permission, I ordered the fence and I paid a deposit on the fence and I was ready to roll, and it took a year before I actually got the permits to do it. and that's because they had to pass the legal paperwork between the entities.
So it took about 5 years to get all of that iron out.
Yes.
Okay.
And then two months to build it. So no cost to the government. I mean, and land not being used. Actually, it saves them money because they don't have to cut the grass here anymore. So I took, you know, 2,000 square feet of land that they normally have to cut, and they don't have to cut it now.
Yeah, who maintains this?
We do. I have me. I've cut the grass here for 5 years.
Is that right?
Three times a year I'll come out and cut this brow of this hill and the path back here.
Okay.
And I just have always done that.
Yeah. So how did it turn out?
Turned out unbelievable. I'm amazed at how nice it is, how cool it is, and actually how many people have come here. So last week, my wife and I came out. We sat here for 30 minutes and 26 people had come and showed up. Some sat, some watched, some left. And then the next night we came back, and in 40 minutes there were over 60 people that came out here.
So I think, as you mentioned in the beginning, this is also to be considered a place to talk.
Yes. So, you know, as the neighborhoods were all divided, they have different, you know, Holy Rosary is a bunch of old Italian, that was an old Italian neighborhood that encompasses Fletcher Place, but there's a lot of people that are involved in community now, that it's like a real neighborhood. And the people in Fountain Square, it's a separate neighborhood divided by this, but people from both neighborhoods can come here, sit and talk,
right,
and say what's important to them. So gentrification in Fountain Square is a bigger issue than it is, say, in Fletcher Place, because Fletcher Place never really went all the way down. It just kind of stayed, you know, middle or upper middle class, actually.
So you've been here at a lot of different times now, I'm sure. What is your favorite time to be out here?
Anytime. All right. It's kind of a solitary thing, or you can communicate. Mm-hmm. It's more fun when there's more people and when you try to interact with them.
Okay.
And some people just want to be alone.
Is this open at all times?
Yeah, it's just like the trail, 24/7.
This might be a little bit of a reach, but the other thing that I thought was interesting about this is that, you know, whatever it was, 50, 60 years ago, these two roads kind of plowed through a neighborhood. And now, in a very sort of small, rebellious way, people have reclaimed part of this land. Has that ever occurred to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Or am I just getting crazy?
Oh, no, that's absolutely it.
Yeah.
We're taking back some of this and giving it back to the people.
My thanks to Tom Batista. Before I let you go, I want to draw your attention to a few stories in this week's print edition of IBJ. Andrew Luck is back on the field for the Indianapolis Colts, but his viability as an athlete endorser and product pitchman is still recovering. IBJ's Anthony Shutley explores how long it will take to get the ball rolling. Also in this issue, Lindsay Erdody examines the balancing act attempted by Senator Joe Donnelly to both keep his Democratic base and appeal to conservatives. And Sam Quinn outlines how Noblesville is trying to attract new development while playing off its historic charm. As usual, you can pick up the latest issue of IBJ on the newsstand, or you can find all of these stories at IBJ.com. Hey, thanks for checking out the podcast. We'll be back next week.